Thank you. Amen. So we can go to Sunday school.
For all that he's done for us. Hey, I don't care what age you are. You should just look back and thank God for how good he's been.
Oh, yes.
We heard last week, we received news last week of a bishop's 14-year-old son that was shot in the head and killed. And then one of our former saints, who she considers herself still to be a saint, Dr. Austin's nephew, was in college and was shot and killed. Death has no respect of age. I'm going to tell you something about death. Death don't look at color. Death don't look at your race. Death don't look at what religion you proclaim. Amen. So this is a time that we're living in when we should all be ready. Can we say ready?
Ready.
I just want to make one announcement. On Friday night, we're going to go over something here at church as part of our current events. We're going to go over it Friday night, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock for those that are interested. Showing you some of the dangers of using all of this smart technology, the cell phones, the 5G. There's a whole lot of hidden agenda behind that. So we're just going to go with, not to scare you, but we need to have knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but then the Bible said, my people strive for what? It said a lack of finances. It didn't say a lack of family, but a lack of knowledge. So we're going to use the knowledge just. I'm going to give you one example. You know, Senator McCain had what kind of cancer?
Brain.
He had brain cancer. And part of the problem with using our modern technology is that they work off of radioactive waves. Right? What does radiation cause?
Cancer.
And if you look at his scar from when they operated on his brain cancer, one of the researchers showed his scar is the exact same scar as a cell phone. So those are the things we're going to go, not to scare, but how many know we need to have knowledge? Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you to stand at this time for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the 26th chapter of Acts. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from the 26th chapter of Acts. Can we all just say hallelujah? I'm so glad I know who the Lord is in these last and evil days. Amen. When so much uncertainty is happening, and you know, we do have to pray for this world that we're living in. Amen. Terrorist acts all over, domestic terrorists, foreign terrorists. We need to be have our soul anchored. I think maybe did you see that a couple weeks ago? My soul is anchored. Our soul needs to be anchored in the Lord. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So from Acts, the 26th chapter. Actually, I'm going to start all over. I'm going to start at the 13th verse. We're going to read from verses 13 through 20, and then we will come back and we will go over more of this. And as I said, I tried more this time to do more of a teaching so that when we leave, we don't say, wow, that was a good service. And the next day, well, what was service about? I don't know, but I just know it was good. So I desire to teach in a way, amen, that we can, when we leave, we don't leave empty. Because the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So verse 13 reads, this is Paul giving his own testimony. Isn't that something? Somebody's not writing about him. He's giving his own testimony. Verse 13 said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou? Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou. I want to keep reading, but just a lot of times people are trying to figure out who the Lord is. Isn't it so simple when you just let the Bible speak? The Lord said, he's who?
Jesus.
So Jesus is Lord and the Lord is Jesus. No charge for that. Amen. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the yes, Satan does have power, but the only way you can turn from that is you have to be in Christ, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Let us pray. O God, we thank you today. O God, we are blessed today to have a mind to assemble ourselves in your presence. Lord, we are blessed today to be able to continue to serve thee, Lord, in the land of liberty. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. With all the uncertainty and dangers, Lord, we thank you that as a church, we know you as a keeper. Lord, we know you as a way maker. Lord, we know you as a deliverer. And as our hearts desire this afternoon, oh God, speak a word, Lord, that will steer us away from past problems. Lord, we ask you to speak a word in the name of Jesus. Lord, that will help us to deal with our present situations. Lord, we ask you to speak a word, a prophetic word, that will deal with our future challenges. Oh God, our hearts desire is just speak a word. Oh God, so that when we leave, we won't leave with doubt. Lord, that when we leave, we won't leave with uncertainty. Lord, speak a word. When we leave, we won't leave with confusion. Oh God, but speak a word, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, so that we may clearly see the vision in mind. Now speak a word, Lord, and for that we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Now, I know most of you all have noticed what most of our message has been about recently.
Faith.
And I prepared another message all week, and then this morning as I was in the office, God switched up on me and took me back to faith. Right? So how many know it's more important to be obedient to God than to do what you want to do? Amen. So when the Lord switched up, well, you know when God switches up, because he doesn't just switch up and give you a verse, but he gives you the accompanying scriptures. So we know that the Lord was speaking. So our thought is actually going to come out of this 19th verse of Acts, in 26th chapter. They read, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the
heavenly vision."
If it's a heavenly vision, then who's speaking? God. So our message today is true faith is totally surrendering to God. True. Now, there's a whole lot of people in faith, but there's a whole lot of people that's not completely or totally surrendering to God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So we're going to deal with true faith, and over the last few weeks, we're not dealing with the cognitive or the mental assent to faith. A lot of people talk about faith because of what they believe. But how can you believe if you're not obedient? Amen. So true faith in itself is obedience. Faith is not a noun or an adjective, but faith is a verb. And everybody who was in school knows a verb is like what kind of word? Action word. Right? So God says he wants us to have action. And if you have confusion with that, James tells us in the 2nd chapter that faith without action is what?
Dead.
Can we say praise the Lord? So we say faith is more than just thinking or believing. Amen. Faith requires action. Jesus said, I'm so glad you can be there and brought it out earlier, it's important to get baptized. You need to get baptized. Somebody catch that back door. It's important to be baptized. It's critically important to be baptized. Amen. And he brought it out so eloquently today. But this is what Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be
saved.
So there's a whole lot of people that's believing, but they have not yet got
saved.
there can't be. Well, who said it? Jesus. And when he rose from the dead, he said, not some power, but all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So he said that if you believe, your belief requires action. And so there's a whole lot of people sitting in church but believe, but they have not made a move toward God. There are a lot of people sitting in church talking about all of the wonderful works of God, but their actions deny him. Paul James said, what good does the Savior have faith and have not works? And then, I like James, he gives us a vivid illustration to what it means. He said, if a brother or sister come to you destitute and in need, and you say unto them, be warm and go and be filled, he said, what good is that going to do them? So he says, so if you know, if you're in a position to help somebody, well, now I'm not talking about everybody want to help somebody financially. How many know you can't take your money to heaven? You can't take it with you. I don't care how big a grave it is. You can't take it with you. Amen. So I'm not talking about money, but how many want to do something to help somebody with their soul? How many want to do something to help somebody spiritually? Amen. So James said, listen, talk is cheap. Isn't that what they say today? But if you're going to say it, then you need to also back it up. So faith has to have works. He said, was not our father Abraham justified by works? Well, what was his work? Believing that God was going to give him Isaac? No, his work was when he put Isaac on the altar. Can we say hallelujah? So God says, now listen, your faith requires not only action, but a sacrifice on your part. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him first. You know, if we were to examine that scripture personally, I'm not talking about me examining you. I'm talking about you examining yourself. He said, if any man come after me, let me we're following him. Let him first deny himself. So, you know what Jesus said? Your greatest challenge to following me is not the adversary. Your greatest challenge to following me is not the people in church that been making you mad. Right? Y'all know we got some people in church that make us mad. Right? You got some, sometimes pastor make you mad, but that's what God's looking at. Right? If you're going to follow him, you got to first move out the way. You got to get out your own way. Are y'all with me? So he said, you have to first deny yourself. In other words, I heard the old saying is you have to dethrone self and enthrone God. We live in a society where everybody tell you, listen, you can make your own choice. And you can do as you please. And that is true. But Solomon lets us know in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, oh man, do as you please. Live how you please. Do whatever you want to do from day to day, but know now this, for all of these things, you shall be brought into judgment. Well, what is judgment? That's when God's going to discern how you've been living. So our message today is dealing with true faith. So my question first, can you have true faith if you're disobedient? Hey, y'all answer for me. Can you have true faith if you're disobedient? So true faith is an example of obedience. How do we know? Paul says, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. When God spoke to me, Paul said, I did what God told me to do. And in reading this scripture, if you read up a little earlier, it said when the voice spoke to Saul, when he was on the road to Damascus, when he thought he was doing what God wanted him to do, anybody ever feel a thought you were doing what God wanted you to do until God stopped you? Now it's important when God stops you, as he stopped Saul, Saul said he spoke to him in the Hebrew language. That's the language of God. It's what? Hebrew. You can read it earlier. I'm just filling in the gaps for you. He spoke to him in the Hebrew language. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, who was Saul persecuting? The saints. He was persecuting the saints. So what the Lord is saying, the way you treat the saints, that's the way you treat Jesus. You know what I mean? I can do as I please, and I can say and act like I want. The Lord said, well, the way you treat the saints, that's the way you treat me. Amen. Especially if they have the Holy Ghost, because that's God's Spirit on the inside. So wherever God's Spirit is, and then this is why sometimes we have to reconsider how we treat one another. We have to reconsider the way we talk to one another. We have to reconsider how short patience we are with one another. When the Bible tells us that we ought to be forgiving and forbearing and to forbear one another in anger, in love, we have to consider how we treat each other. So I have true faith. Well, how can you have true faith if you're not walking in obedience to what God has told you to do? Well, how do we know what God told us to do? It's in the Word. Amen. So daily, scripture reading should be a daily part of our habits. The scripture says about the Bereans, they were more noble than those of Desmond Michael. Wasn't a nobility dependent upon wealth or prominence or position? No. So God saw nobility as a matter of searching the scripture. He said they were more noble in that they searched the scripture every other day. They searched the scripture when they felt like it. They searched the scripture how? Daily. To see whether those things were so or not. So it's so important today's saints, we need to search the scriptures daily. Jesus says, follow him daily. Well, how can you follow Jesus if you don't follow the scriptures? Jesus says in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. So a lot of people know all about Jesus. Yeah, I know you got all kind of commentaries. You got all kind of people giving their opinions. But their opinion is not God's word. So we learn to seek after God with all of our hearts. I heard the scripture say, then shall you find me. So you can't have a whole half-hearted seek and think you're going to find God. If you're going to find God, you got to search after him with all of your heart. So how can you search after him with all of your heart if you search after him in partial obedience? Can we say hallelujah? I heard Brother Johnny James says, he says it this way. Johnny James has a way of speaking. He said, partial obedience is full disobedience. You know what I mean? Partial obedience is full disobedience. Partially obeying God is still disobedient. We have to get into a place in our lives where we know what God wants for us. We have to get in a place in our lives where we don't allow even those that are in positions to make us compromise our faith. I don't care what golden image has been set up. I don't care what Nebuchadnezzar has been threatening you. You still got to hold on to your faith. When they told Daniel, don't pray anymore. How many know when you have a relationship with God, man can't break that relationship? So they told Daniel, don't pray anymore. He said, if you pray, then we're going to cast you into the lion's den. And the scripture let us know that after the decree was signed, Daniel continued to pray 3 times a day. And they came and found Daniel praying, and they said, Daniel, didn't we tell you not to pray? Amen. They said, well, king, now they had already deceived the king into signing a decree, knowing that Daniel was praying. I'm so glad when you know God, let the enemy do what he will. Let the enemy fight like he want to fight, but he can fight all he want, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's what the scripture says. So they knew that the decree had been signed, and they went and they said, oh king, we found Daniel praying, and you signed a decree that they should not pray. But Daniel said, I know I can pray to God morning, noon, and evening, and God will hear my cry. Can we just say praise the Lord? So Daniel continued to pray, because Daniel remembered away captive. Lord, if there ever come a time when you can't get to church, I'm not saying when you don't come to church. He said when you can't get to church. He said if they ever taken away captive and cannot get back to this house. He said, Lord, if they just look towards the house where Daniel's there in captivity and he's being obedient to God. He's looking towards the house. Daily he opened the window facing where Jerusalem was. And no matter what Nebuchadnezzar or anyone else tried to do, Daniel was steadfast. Daniel obeyed God fully to the point that when they brought Daniel before the king tried with all of his might to deliver Daniel, but they had already tricked the king into signing a decree according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which was unalterable. Only one law I know is unalterable, and that's the law of God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
But they said the law could not be altered, then the law could not be changed. Oh, but Daniel said, oh, king, don't worry about me. I'm in the hands of someone that got more power than you have. I'm in the hands of someone that not only created the lion, but he controls the lion. Hallelujah. So they threw Daniel in the lion's den. And you know Daniel had to have some impact when he was living godly, because the scripture let us know that the king stayed up all night, fasting and praying for God to deliver Daniel. I wonder today how many of us are that obedient to God, that the one that put you in the lion's den is praying for God to bring you out of the lion's den. I wonder how many of us are so obedient to God today that the one that has put a curse or tried to put a curse on us is praying for the curse not to take place. I wonder how many of us today are that obedient to God that when others are trying to take us out, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. How many know on Christ, the solid rock I stand? All on the ground is nothing more than sin and shame. So you can try to take me out, but I'm standing on God's word. I'm standing on God's promise. And God promised he'd never leave me. He'd never leave me alone. He said, others may forsake you. Others may let you down. He said, I don't care what you take from me. You can take my house. there, brother and bishop and apostle, there ain't nothing wrong with that. They ought to be there. Doctors. Dr. KDD, all you do is go on our website, be about $100 something, you're a doctor. Right? So you got all these doctors. Pay $100, you can be a bishop. Right? Paul said, listen, if anybody in the third chapter of Philippians said, if anybody have reasons where they can boast, he said, I have greater. He said, I'm from the stock of Benjamin. Our circumcised same thing. He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, concerning keeping the law, he said, I was blameless. Paul said, I did all of these things. He said, but that didn't mean anything because that was worldly acclaim. That was what inspired men. He said, but the things that were gained to me, I counted those things loss for Christ. I wonder if we were to stop right here with the church saints today, how many of us encounter some things lost so that we could win Christ? And Paul explains what it means about winning Christ. He said, and not be found in him with my own righteousness. There's a whole lot of righteous people in church, but it is not the righteousness of God. Can we say hallelujah? He said, not the righteousness which is of the law or what man has dictated, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. So your righteousness cannot come outside of faith. Your righteousness cannot come outside of believing, but your righteousness has to come through faith. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul said, listen, I can tell you all that I've done. In the 26th chapter, early, he said how he persecuted the church above measure, how he was there for sinning to the death of Stephen when they stoned him. He said, but God took me out of that. When God stopped me, he showed me something greater. I wonder, does anyone today want to see something greater? God can't show you anything greater as long as you ain't yourself. Are you all with me? So you need to get out of self. Well, how do I get out of self? I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Amen. Anyone want some excellent knowledge? You got to get in Christ. Yeah, I know we got some geniuses and some people that are brighter than the brightest star. Amen. But don't know nothing about God. That knowledge is foolish. Amen. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't have a reverence for God, your knowledge, you can throw it out the window. It doesn't mean a thing. So we're getting back to, once again, true faith is being, right? Is being what?
Obedient.
What kind of obedient? Fully obedient to God. And I ask you today, listen, we have been misled to think that our obedience is doing what the church says do. And you ought to follow church protocol. That's right. But you also have to have a personal relationship with God as well, right? So the church can't save you. We all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Guess what? We appear before the judgment seat of Christ every day. Your husband can't go for the wife. And the wife can't go for the husband. The mother can't go for the daughter. And the father can't go for the son. So we have to appear before Christ for ourselves. Now, if I give you this scenario, when you appear before the judgment seat, if the judgment seat is different from the judgment seat of Christ, because the judgment seat of Christ is for us and in the church now. The judgment seat is for those that don't make it with the Lord. So if we don't make it with the Lord, we appear before the judgment seat. And you're talking with the Lord. And the Lord said, well, now you know in your conscience and in your mind and even in your dreams. Anybody has some dreams? I know one of you used to have some dreams. God said, I will deal with you in your conscience. I deal with you in your dreams. But you disobeyed what I was dealing with you concerning. So we appear before that judgment seat. He's going to say, why could you allow that one thing to go? And you're going to say, well, I really love them. But God's going to say, well, anyone that loves mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, job, whatever the thing is, greater than me, you say they're not worthy of me. So the judgment scene has been set. One by one, we appear before God. Well, God, I was going to serve you, but I had to raise enough money to pay for this house. I had to raise enough money to buy a car, so I couldn't be in church. God, you understand? God, I had to have all this money so I could take care of my family. He said, well, you were disobedient, because I said, forsake not the assembly. And everybody got true faith. Well, if you can't have true faith, if you're mandated, yeah, how many people work in the medical field? When you work in the medical field, you're mandated every other week. That's different. You understand? I'm not saying don't be foolish. I'm not saying go be a boss. I'm not working here. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you have the opportunity to come, but you choose not to come, that's forsaken. Are y'all with me? I'm saved, Holy Ghost filled, 5 times on my way to heaven. But you didn't come to church because you didn't feel like it. That's called disobedience. So how can you say that I'm fully following the Lord if I'm not fully obedient to God? Amen? I'm just trying to help you understand. God judges us every day. The Bible said judgment is already began where? The house of God. And as the righteous, all us holy people, we're going to skip in. We're going to just slide in there. He said, if the righteous scarcely be seen, where shall the enemy in church, sinners, and ungodly? That's why. You know, walking in obedience. So, you know, a lot of times, this is what happens in church. Can I get I'm almost finished. You'll just sing with me. A lot of times we get in church and boy, the word of God is just running all over our feet, all down through us, and we just feel the spirit of conviction. And we get out of church and the devil says, ah, you ain't got to do that. If God spoke, right? The Bible says his word will not return unto him out. Boy. So the reason that a lot of us have not reached the place of God we need to be is because we're listening to too many voices. And we're not listening to the voice of God. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Even back then, they were making excuses for why they couldn't come to church. Well, I had to go to the beach. Saints are not to be on the beach anyway. I'm just telling like the Bible says, because the Bible says you're not supposed to reveal your nakedness and look on anybody else's. But you can do as you please. For all these things you steal, Lord, you're going to judge me. Because the Bible, did the Bible say that? Yes. I'm just saying, I'm just saying. So, well, I'm going to do this. Well, God said, don't do that. Well, I'm 3 times 7, or right? Yesterday, the younger now, they make decisions, right? So I'm old enough to do as I please. God said, yeah, everything you're doing is in the book. So when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, he said, you still got to get an account. And a lot of us are sinning a mental sin. You know what a mental sin is? Jesus describes it this way, but it can be applicable many other ways. He said, whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery, that's a mental sin. Right? That's a mental sin. So a lot of us have some mental sins. Well, I didn't do it, but you created this scenario in your mind and you played it out, so you did it. Are you with me? He said, if you look on a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery. That's a mental sin. All right? So a lot of us have mental sins. I didn't do it, but what's been playing in your mind? Are you with me? What's been playing in over and over in your mind and in your heart? And if it's contrary to God, that is sin. Now, today we live in God. Just touching on a few things, because I think in church we need to know how to live right. Is that right? So we live in a world where we got the social media, right? You got to be careful of all that social media. Listen, every time I get a text of guess who I am, I do guess who you are. Delete it. If I get My wife showed me one day, she said, why do I keep getting this tax? I said, I get them too, I just delete them. Delete them. I don't know you, you sent me something, delete. So, church, we're not blind. Because we should not be ignorant of the devils. Because if you're ignorant, then he gets to what? Advantage over you. So we allow the social media, amen. I had some friends that reached out to me from high school. Delete it. Why? Because they're not saved. So if they're reaching out to me about what we used to do in high school, I was a sinner in high school. Are you all following me? One of my friends told me what was being on that LinkedIn. LinkedIn is supposed to be the business section of social media. I was on LinkedIn for one day and linked out. And you know what's bad about those social medias? They won't let you link out that day. You have to keep it for two or three more days. So I was LinkedIn, and then this is how devilish this stuff is. Yes, right? Because I figured LinkedIn, you're gonna deal with business people. And it was something pumped up, ladies had practically no clothes on. I'm like, couldn't you get rid of this stuff? I was like, this ain't good. But it's supposed to be the business. Well, we see it every day, but you don't have to make yourself see it. It's mental sin. Well, I don't know if it was Bishop GT, whatever. They had a 2-second rule. 2 seconds. How long is 2 seconds? One, two, that's it. Yep. Can we say one? Two. That's it. So when you get something inappropriate and you're the three, you mess up. Because what Bishop G.T. Hayward said, now the devil takes that mental picture that you just put in your mind and he takes it in the dark room of your heart and then he makes it a reality in your spirit. So if it happens, look away. Don't look at, don't let it happen and look and say, oh, I just want to make sure I saw what I saw. Are we talking about the church? We talking about living holy? We talking about looking pure? Living pure? Amen. And they send you all these magazines. Most of the time I get a magazine and I go right over there, I got a big old shredder. Shred. Especially when the whole front cover is messed up. I don't even have to go no further. Shred. But I just want to see what they had in there for my life. Are you serious? Like, Victoria's Secrets. Well, I was just trying to buy something for my wife that was light. Don't you realize every one of those models are real? What they are displaying ain't fake. Right? Well, I was just looking for something for my husband. It's still real. We're not supposed to look on anyone else's nakedness. All right, I'm going for it. Because most of you are already mad at you. But the question is, how can you have true faith unless you are fully obeying what God told you to do? Now, we've all taken the exceptions. We can do this, we can do that, as we all stand. I know you're already. True faith is totally surrendering to God. Can we say this together? Adults. True faith. Y'all can repeat after me so you don't have to forget. Say true faith is totally surrendering to God. You ever see somebody get arrested and they have a partial arrest? If somebody gets arrested, they get fully arrested. When we're saying totally surrendering to God, if you're not partially surrendering, you're totally surrendering. Dear Lord, I'm caught withholding nothing. And the problem we got in church is too many people are coming, but they're still holding back on God. He said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. The devil is just corrupting saints. Because Paul James says that every man is falls into sin when they conceive of their own lusts. And when that's finished, it bringing forth sin. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away with